An audience of one. There aren't many things that are done in front of an audience of one. Many of us have watched football games the last couple of weeks, and those are in front of very large audiences that are physically present, and then by way of TV, very huge audiences. But an audience of one. Erica and Dan were at our house on Friday evening, and we had received in the mail a video of our granddaughter. Her father had put together all these videos he's taken over her 4 years and taken little minute clips out of all of them, put them all together and had them all indexed. And Erica wanted to watch it, or part of it. So we were watching parts of that. And afterwards I thought, well, we ought to see if we can find, because we don't have very many, but find some old videos of Erica that we had, you know, because we didn't have a video camera, so we only have certain things that were done at certain places or whatever. And anyway, we're trying to find some different things, and as we were looking at some of them, we had this one that was just marked. It said, a family video, and I had no clue what that was. And so we got this, and we weren't even aware we had it. It's been so long since we've seen it, if we ever knew it, but it had Erica's third birthday on it, and so that was kind of fun to see her in that. And then it had this other couple of years later of Robin reading to the girls when they were really young. And but it had this one in the middle that would have been 1990, and it's when I borrowed this video camera from these friends, because Robin and I were going to this program at Dallas Seminary, where it was an evaluation thing of your various ministry aspects and things, and there were like six couples that came. And one of the things you had to do in preparation for this was to send a video tape of a message, because that was a part of just one aspect of things that were going to be evaluated. And so I had to figure out a way to videotape a message, in which we obviously didn't have videotape in our church, and we didn't have it set up to record to the video camera. So I was on this tape, in the middle of this tape of Erica's third birthday and this other thing, all of a sudden we come to this section where there truly is an audience one, because I just have a video camera set up and I'm working out the logistics of how does the camera need to be focused so it gets the right thing, where it doesn't get people in the way, and I'm trying to deal with this wireless mic. And this is 1990, so you know, we're dealing with Radio Shack equipment that I'm going down and buying as very cheap as I can, and trying to make all this work. And most people would stand up in front of something like that and they would go testing 1, 2, 3, but that's not my personality. But it's this personality that you don't really know. It's only my family knows this personality, and now Dan. But I, you know, the other thing that maybe somebody that was setting up a video camera to record them preaching would get up and preach a sermon, but that's not my personality either. And so I make up this sermon, and it's videotaped, and now we see it, 17 years later, and I was laughing so hard because it was intended to be an audience of one. Why it was ever preserved, I'm not sure. But there seldom is an audience of one, unless we think of the one, obviously, in a different manner. That's become a phrase in the last 10 years with some songs and stuff, this idea of God playing before an audience of one. The things we do not being for other people, though they may be in front of other people, but not being for them, but being for God. Jesus actually addressed that. He doesn't use the phrase an audience of one, and he doesn't use the contemporary terminology. But in Matthew 6, Jesus addresses our attention to this very principle. Having service, your service, before an audience of one. Before Christmas, we had been looking for several weeks at the Sermon on the Mount and had worked through several passages in the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in the last part of chapter 5, we saw six illustrations which focused on the attitude of the heart in relationship to other people. Now in chapter 6, there are three illustrations which bring our focus on our attitude, the heart, before God. the attitude of your heart directly before God. In Matthew 6, if you'll join me, we'll see that a principle is given and then it's illustrated with three illustrations. So Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 1. The principle is given right at the beginning of the chapter. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Well, there are a couple of things that are there that we need to be aware of. The principle might be put in terms of when spiritual activities are performed for an audience of many, your reward is whatever they give you. On the other hand, when spiritual activities are performed for an audience of one, you will be rewarded by God. Those are two aspects of the principle we could get there, but we need to be clear on a couple of things. First, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. It is not saying beware of practicing your righteousness before men. It's not saying don't practice your righteousness before men. But if your purpose, if your motivation is to be noticed by them, then that's the principle. For if that's the principle, there's no reward from God. Whatever they give you, that's your reward, but there's no reward from God. So as we look at this, there are at least three corollaries we need to see here and think through. One is, the primary thing is that there's an audience of one. The motivation ought to be in spiritual service. Spiritual service is done before the audience of God. He is the audience. However, having said that, it doesn't mean that you cannot have spiritual service in front of people. It's just that if you make them your audience, if that's who you're performing for, then it's no longer before God. And whatever the reward is that people give you, if that's your audience, that's your reward. Well, Jesus goes from that principle to three illustrations. And in the middle of these illustrations, there's a almost a side part given. It breaks off into Jesus' teaching about prayer and the Lord's, what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. So we're not going to look at that today, but we're going to look at the two principles before the Lord's Prayer and the principle following it. So each illustration, there's a negative and a positive section to both of these. Jesus says, in the negative part, if you do this, then this, that'll be your reward in full. That, whatever they give you, that's your reward in full. The positive is that God, who sees you, who hears you, who's aware of you in secret, will reward you. So let's look at this as it's really, each one is dealing with this idea of hypocrisy. If that's your motivation, it's really being, sense of hypocritical. The first has to do with giving, the giving of alms. Verse 2 says, "When therefore you give alms," the word here that's translated "give alms" is really not a word that means alms. It could be when you're giving, but the giving is clearly the reason it takes in the idea and translates it sometimes as alms. Which is not really a word we use, but a lot would be in the sense of benevolence. It's a word for generosity, compassion, giving to people in need. So clearly here, it's doing something in kindness for others. But more specifically, this had to do with financially providing for people. Thus, the idea sometimes is translated as the giving of alms. But broadly then, we could say it's any type of benevolence, whether that's actually an action, or whether it's giving financially or of substance, materials to people, doing something of a benevolent nature for others out of compassion, out of mercy, out of care, out of kindness. when you do that for others. So think of all the opportunities, the different things around that one might be involved in or have opportunity to give, whether it's financially giving, whether it's doing something of service for some setting. Jesus is talking about that. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. See, sometimes, and that was the setting that Jesus was talking about, that people were going to give. They were going to give to the needy in the streets, but they did it with ceremony. The trumpet sounded. Attention is drawn. Now, there's nothing evil in and of itself to give and be noticed for giving. You may have heard this past week of the gentleman in New York City that somebody fell into the subway rails and he jumped on top of him and got him in an area where actually between the tracks and below and evidently saved the guy's life, and they both, you know, miraculously it almost seems, lived, and he's been awarded in many ways since then. He's been recognized, and even, I'm not sure, I didn't read the whole article, Donald Trump gave him something. Well, Trump got his name in the paper. It's known that he gave this. There's nothing wrong with that. This verse is not saying, oh, see, that's a sign of somebody that's a hypocrite. That's a sign of somebody doing something wrong. But when you're saying, I'm doing this for spiritual service, I'm doing this for God, and then at the same time you call the papers, make sure they're there to take your photograph and get it in the paper, that's what Jesus is talking about. So we need to be clear. It's not a verse that's saying to ever give and be known for it is wrong. But he's saying, what's your motivation? Jesus says when that happens, he says, so many may be honored, he says at the end of verse 2, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Whatever reward came from people coming and blowing the trumpets and people gathering around and viewing them and saying, oh, well, that was nice, that's good, you're a good guy. That's the reward. That's the extent of it. But Jesus goes ahead in verse 3 and gives another vantage point to look at these things. He says, but when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret. So when you're going to give, whether that would be financially or in some sense of service here, this is even service, don't draw attention to yourself. Actually, it's viewed as being so secretive that your left hand wouldn't even know what your right hand is doing. Now, if we take that in a concrete, very wooden sense, we're going to have to stop taking the offering in church. We couldn't do any. Actually, we cannot do checks. It all has to be cash. But we have to figure out a way to get it into the church without anybody knowing you got it. I mean, if you try to be wooden about this, it would make a church service impossible, but surely that's not what Jesus is saying anyway. See, it's not the fact of letting people know, because you find in other places where people did know. It's the audience. It's the motivation. It's the intention. If you do it and you say, this is spiritual service, what I want you to know. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They sold their property, which was one of the things that was going on at that time to care for people in Jerusalem. They sold their property. They kept back part of it, which was fine, but they let everybody know that they sold their property and they were giving everything to the church. That was a lie. It wasn't that they had to give it all. It was just that they wanted people to think they were giving more than they were actually giving. That was the problem. So for us, how do we give in such a way, even if other people are aware, that we do it for God, not for them? Jesus continues and says that when we do it in secret, he says,
Your Father who sees in secret, the end of verse 4,
will repay you.
That's the difference here.
Jesus is saying when you do it in front of people, for people to notice, whatever they reward you, that's your reward. When you do it in front of God, for God to notice, and God only, then God rewards you. Now, as I said, there's a part here you have to be a little careful of in trying to say nothing can be done that anybody knows about. I don't think that's the intent here. I had a friend that he was very careful in his giving that nobody would know what he gave. And he gave a substantial amount. They were very, he was a very important part of his life. But he was very careful that nobody would know how much he's giving. And he was challenged one time by someone in terms of encouragement to others. That if nobody ever knows that you give, and nobody ever knows that it's somewhat sacrificial at times, then there's no encouragement to them. So Hal was challenged that he had to kind of rethink this at times. Not in the sense that you stand up and brag about what you're doing, but there may be occasions and appropriate time to do things in a way that encourages people. But once again, that's not Jesus' focus here. Jesus' focus is when you're doing service in front of other people, what is your motivation? Is it for them to notice you, or are you doing it before an audience of one? Jesus says, when you do it before the audience of one, God who knows what you did in secret will reward you. Well, let's move on to the second one. In verse 5 it says, and when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Well, once again, I don't think we need to find Galen after the service and say, Galen, you really shouldn't have got up in front of church and done that. You violated the scripture. But if you stand up and pray in front of people for the purpose of being noticed by them, if you look for those opportunities to be, well, you know, if I could pray in this setting, if I could be here, if I had that chance, then everybody would see. Sometimes people want to be in that limelight. And Jesus said, when you do that, that's your reward. That's your reward. Now, so often we think of, you think of in terms of prayer, how would prayer be a reward? I don't really know that too many people in our service, if they got up and prayed, that afterwards people are going to congratulate you and tell you what a wonderful person you are, and they just admire how spiritual you are, and because you prayed, it doesn't necessarily fit. But, in certain settings, to be on a stage, to be in front of people, to pray, is recognition. You think on large scales and in large settings. But maybe it's just in the sense of that others would think you're spiritual because you're willing to do it. You're willing. See, there's nothing wrong with being up in front of people. Nothing wrong with being in a position to pray in front of people. Jesus prayed. John 17 is a prayer that was prayed in presence of the disciples, a prayer that extended beyond the disciples, that extends to us, that he was praying for us by extension. A prayer that's recorded. That's pretty public. But his prayer wasn't so we would notice him. It wasn't so the disciples would notice him. The night before he went to the cross, he told the disciples, some of the disciples, stay here, I'm going to go back here and pray. He told him exactly what he was doing. Should he have not done that? Was he violating his own principles here? Only if his whole motivation was they would know that he was praying, and that was his motivation. See, that people would see you, hear you, observe you praying is not the issue. It's once again, what's your motivation? But when we pray, when we do spiritual service, so others will see it, that's our motivation, then that's your reward in full. Jesus says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who
sees in secret will repay you.
And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
You know, to get into prayer where you're just doing repetition and where you're just saying those key little phrases, where you're doing things that people will say, wow, he's spiritual. Jesus, that's the extent. That's the extent.
Well, let's look at the third illustration. It has to do with fasting. In verse 16, it says, "And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men."
So here, once again, it's not one shouldn't fast, but you got to love the setting. Here, somebody's fasting. Maybe they're fasting for a day. Maybe it's longer. It's not really stated. But in this fast, they put on a gloomy face. They dress in such a way to draw attention to the fact that they're fasting. It's like they have a sign on, "I'm spiritual today. I'm doing this to honor God today. You should be aware."
So they're gloomy. They've got their sackcloth on.
Well, you don't look like you're feeling too good today. Well, I'm kind of weak. I haven't eaten all day. I'm just doing this for the Lord. Drawing attention to themselves.
Jesus says,
whatever praise they give you, whatever credit you get, that's your reward.
On the other hand, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you.
So put on the cheery clothes. Have a smile on your face. I feel great today. People don't need to know that you didn't eat, because you weren't doing it for them. You were doing it for the Lord. Now, each one of these, if you take it in a very absolute, wooden, literal sense, will cause problems. If you take it beyond what is the obvious intent of the passage, then you create problems. For in none of the situations is it reasonable to think that what is being said here is absolutely never let anybody know that you gave anything. Absolutely never let anybody hear you pray. And never let it be known that you fasted. That doesn't fit anything else. But the principle was, see, we have to make sure we see the principle. Verse 6, or verse 1 and verse of chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. It's not saying never let anybody know you gave. It's saying when you give, in order that people will know you gave, when you pray for the purpose that people will hear you pray, when you fast so that people will notice that you're fasting, that's a different motivation. It's a different audience. So there's some general principles that generally it's good to give without announcing what you're giving. It's generally good to pray in public in a way that people can actually hear you pray, or else there wouldn't be a public prayer, would there? But not to put yourself longing to be in front of people. And it's generally good when you fast not to draw attention to the fact that you're fasting. But you know, if you push any of these too far, they create problems. In South Dakota, and when I tell you the story, I'm under no illusion that this individual wasn't looking for something to be offended by. But nevertheless, one criticism from a guy there was that we had gone out to, or I'd met him for lunch one day and I didn't eat. And that really offended him. And in that situation, I would have been much better if I would have said, you know, I'm fasting today and I'm not going to eat, but hey, don't let that bother you. Eat all you want. It doesn't affect me. Now, I would have been better served. He would have been better served if I would have done that. But I will tell you, on the other hand, he would have found something else to be offended about. So that's another issue there. But being absolutely silent about everything in secret isn't the point of this passage. And if you take it too far, you can create other problems. But when you say to somebody, well, you know, you go ahead and eat today, but I'm not eating. And I chose this day because I knew we had this lunch appointment. And I wanted you to know that I'm so spiritual that I'm not eating today. And I hope you will let other people know that I'm one of the more spiritual people you know. Jesus says, whatever reward you gain from that, that's it. God wasn't impressed. Now let's take it and try to draw some other areas, because some of these may not really fit exactly where we're at. But think about service you do in church, whether it's teaching children Sunday school, whether it's to sing special, whether it's to serve in a leadership position, whether it's to do some things behind the scenes. Why do you do them? Do you do them so others will notice you? If so, Jesus says, that's your reward. But if you do them because you're serving God, it may be that nobody's aware. If you do something public, somebody has to be aware. But you may do some things that nobody's aware, but God's aware. Even if it's done in secret, God, who sees in secret, will reward. Who's our audience? You know, there are some wonderful things about a public worship service. And today, some of the focuses that we had on singing of thanking God, being thankful. You know, you can sing all those songs and you can do all of that privately and be thankful, but there's something that is celebratory about being together with others and publicly saying, God, we thank you. And when your heart is right and when we're of a right heart together, that's worship. But you can do those same things just trying to draw attention to yourself, whether it's that people will know you're there, or that they could hear you, or that they could see you. That's the point here. An audience of one. Whether it's absolutely an audience of one, that is, nobody else knows, or whether everybody else knows, but they're not really the audience. It was only an audience of one. They just happen to see it also. When we do that, Jesus says, God who sees in secret, God who is the audience, when God is the audience, He rewards. We stand as we close in prayer. Father, we acknowledge to you that there are those times that we want people to notice us. But Father, as we also voiced in song today, we are so thankful for all you do for us. And Lord, we do want to be that performer performs for you only, regardless if others happen to see it or not, that you're our audience. That we serve because we love you. We love you because you loved us first. And thus, you're our audience. Help us to make that a lifestyle. And we do ask this in Christ's name. Amen.